Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, Pokemon fans and everybody else out there. This is Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two exciting episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff happens to pop into our heads. Just a quick reminder, we're an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is always advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm here with my co-host, Austin.
Hello, low.
Are we in a cave? There's an echo.
Because I refuse to record in the bed anymore, so I'm back in the hallway. So I think there's an echo.
You are right. You're not in the bed. What changed?
I was tired of things falling on top of me.
Oh my God. Speaking of like being afraid, this is such an anxiety thing. Tell me how crazy this sounds, right? I can't believe I'm admitting this out loud.
So, I'm sure it's already crazy.
It is crazy. I would like to welcome everybody into the mind of somebody with chronic anxiety and overthinking problems, because this is my immediate thought of what happened when I was traveling. So this past week, I was on a work trip and they put us up in a hotel that was not the main conference hotel. It was like an overflow hotel. It was okay. It was an okay hotel. I won't complain. But I walked into it and I had a room that had one king bed as opposed to two queens or whatever. Over the bed was this giant fucking painting, and the painting was held up by, and I'm hoping that like underneath it was like bracketed into the wall, but like from the outside looking at it, it was giant. It was huge, like the whole length of the king bed, and it was like really thick, and like it was held up by one string with like a hook. And I talked to my mom and I was like, I made it into the hotel room, but if I don't like call you later, it's because I died because this painting fell on me.
Okay.
Who thinks that, right? Like, who looks at a painting in a hotel room and be like, this thing's gonna fall on me when I fall asleep tonight?
I'm mad he didn't take a picture of this.
Oh, damn it, I should have. Anyway, it was this giant painting, and I'm like, I've never seen that in a hotel room, like, above the bed, like, hanging like that, but...
Yeah, I can't think of a painting behind a bed. That's weird.
It was literally, like, four... Like, the frame of it, like, it was coming off the wall maybe, like, 3 or 4 inches. Like, it was, like, 4 inches off the wall.
So you would hit
like,
it with your head?
Sticking out. No, it was there was a big headboard. Like, there wasn't, you couldn't physically hit it with your head if you, like, leaned back. It was high enough up, but, like, it was literally, like, 4 inches thick off of the wall. And it was the length of, like, an entire, the king-size headboard. Like, it was this giant painting. And I was like, this is how I'm going to die. But I didn't, because obviously I'm here, so.
That makes me think, I need some wall art for my bedroom.
Don't hang it above your head, because it might fall on
you. Well, I can't, because I have a giant headboard that goes all the way up.
Yeah, mine too. Mine has a big giant wooden headboard, so there's nothing, you can't hang anything on, like, above it. So, what has been going on? I guess that's what I was going to talk about, but what else has been going on with you, Austin?
Who, me?
Who, you? Yes, you.
Currently, my leg has fallen asleep.
Well, my only remedy is to cut it off.
The only remedy is to walk on it, but I don't know. I think I've gotten, like, blood flow issues or something. Okay, well, I take it back. They say your leg falling asleep is not blood flow, it's your nerves.
Yeah, don't you, like, it's the pinched nerve in there?
I think my falling asleep legs have gotten worse as I've aged.
Welcome to being an old person.
Like, it's way more, like, debilitating than it once was.
Yeah, that's what happens when you hit 30 and everything starts to break down.
I'm over it.
I know, it's terrible.
Okay, what's going on with me? I don't know, nothing.
What did you do this past week while I was away?
I don't know, I just sat in a corner and waited for you to come back.
Oh my gosh.
Like I always do.
Well, as of recording this, today is the official, wait, I could be lying. I think it's the official first day of fall. Oh my gosh, it's the 22nd. So today, oh my God, this is so exciting. It's the first day of fall.
Okay, great. I'm so glad.
Now you can officially start watching scary movies and not feel bad about it. Not that you felt bad about it, but.
Why? I thought I had to wait till October 1st.
No.
What have I been doing? I've been playing Star Wars Hunters on the Switch.
What is Star Wars Hunters?
It's like Overwatch, but with Star Wars characters.
So it's like a multiplayer online game?
Yeah. And I'm really bad at it, but I get addicted to these things.
That sounds not my cup of tea.
It's not mine either, but I still get addicted.
What is that one game that a couple years back... Oh, Apex Legends. When you, me, and Jacob tried to play it, and you glitched out and you could only like limp along.
Yes.
Or no, you could only like punch your way forward. That was the only way. And I think I might have like peed myself a little bit laughing, and we were killed instantly because everybody else like descended on us and just killed us.
Well, we came up with a strategy to use me as bait. So you and Jacob you could like flank people. It didn't work.
It didn't work. We tried really hard.
That game took up like 90% of my Switch storage, and I had to delete it because I was like, I cannot. This is insane.
Yeah, I had to too. I couldn't keep it on there. And that was the one and only time. I feel bad in a sense. I still feel bad because Jacob really wanted us to like play it with him. And then we were just like, fuck this. I feel bad.
Oh boy.
So how is Star Wars Hunters going then?
It's going fine.
Kind of just suffering your way through it then.
I'm also trying to suffer my way through LA Noir, which is way longer than I thought it was going to be, by the way.
Oh God. And you're generally good about keeping with something. You've been playing that for a while.
Yeah, it's just taking much longer than I thought it was.
Is it, like, just longer story, or do you have to keep going back and doing stuff over and over? Like, what?
It's just long. It just takes forever.
How much? I mean, what's the main story length?
Let's find out. This is a fucking lie. This claims L.A. Noir on how long...
Noir.
Sorry. This claims L.A. Noir is 22 hours long. That's a lie. That's just not true.
Is it just the main story?
That's all I'm doing. Like, I'm only doing the main story.
No side quests or anything else?
No.
22 hours.
Because I'll be honest, LA Noir is not good. The controls are bad. The graphics are bad.
What year did it come out?
2013-ish.
Games have come a long way.
Oh my God, the first thing that comes up on Google is gamefaqs.com message boards. And it says, how long is this game? Seems really short.
Not for you.
Not for me.
Okay,
Maybe I'm looking at it without the DLC, because I'm playing the remastered version, which includes all the DLC.
I see,
okay. Oh, wait, no, never mind. This is the remastered version. I don't know how these people are doing this so fucking fast. I'm doing the fast travel. I mean, I'm watching all the cutscenes, but, like, the entire thing is cutscenes, so...
Is that game, like, I think the one thing that, like, put me off of that game originally was a lot of it's, like, QuickTime. I hate that.
It's QuickTime. It's shitty shooting sections that, like, have horrendous controls. The driving sections are so bad that I skip it every single time I can.
Oh, my God. There's driving sections?
Oh, my God. They're horrendous.
Is it because it's on the Switch? Is that...
No, I don't think it's a Switch problem. Well, the main feature is the interview sections, which a lot of times are impossible for you to tell what you're supposed to do. And there's no rewind, so you gotta... If you get it wrong, you just got it wrong.
So is it kind of one of those things where it's, like, you think... doing this or picking this option would be the obvious choice, but it turns out to be like the worst option.
Yes.
Oh, gross. I hate that.
And like the dialogue trees are insane and don't make any sense sometimes.
Yeah, see, that was, I remember now why I couldn't play that game, is because I like to sit there and think for a minute about what I want to do in that moment. But with a game like that, it's kind of like Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain was a good game, but it's kind of like that where it's like, oh, you have to like decide, and it's like, oh my God.
I've never played Heavy Rain.
It's a good one.
Is it?
Jason.
Is it good?
Jason.
Jason can fucking drown.
For the meme quality alone.
Oh, that's all I care about. Is that all I've been doing, is playing video games? And yeah, I'm not even progressing through them. It's weird.
Just flopping like a fish out of water through the video game.
Oh, my mom got an Apple TV Plus free trial when she got her new iPhone.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to watch everything on there I can before it's done. I'm not going to be able to make it.
I don't even know what Apple TV offers. Like,
That's the thing, is they don't advertise what they offer. So I don't even know what they have. So I'm trying to figure it out.
Well, that's because, Austin, Apple TV is for exclusive club members only. And only who's who would know what's going on. So we're just too much of, like, the peasant group to know what's happening in Apple's world.
Mm. Well, I may have to not do Horror Month this month.
No.
Because wow. I got to prioritize Apple TV because it runs out in November.
Well, maybe some of their shows are scary.
I already looked it up. They don't really have any.
Well, I do want to watch some horror movies. I want to watch I have to figure out how to do it because I no longer have access to Netflix because they kicked me off.
I have Netflix.
Then I have to come over. Ooh, I want to watch The Watchers. Heard that was good.
Is that the one on HBO?
It's on Netflix, I believe. Or no. Is it on HBO?
I think maybe. There's two The Watchers because I watched one of them. Who watches The Watchers? I watched one of them on Netflix. It was a Ryan Murphy thing. But I think there's another, The Watchers.
Okay, hold on. The Watchers.
I'm talking about my ass. I don't know.
It just came out this year.
Yeah, there's a new one.
It's like they live in a box in the woods.
Yes, 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 yes. I saw a trailer for that. Yes. Ooh, a 31 for Rotten Tomatoes. Gross.
Where to watch, it says.
Oh, it's an M. Night Shyamalan
Yeah, so you know it's going to be bad, so we're going to watch it.
Okay, so watch it for the comedic value.
Oh, I love how this says, the first question people also ask is the movie The Watchers a good movie?
No.
It got a 31 on Rotten Tomatoes. Well, somebody told me it was okay, but I don't know. I feel like you have to be your own critic. Like, I
mean, true.
Base stuff off of Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, apparently he didn't direct it.
What, he just produced it or something?
Yeah.
Okay, and I do want to watch, I don't know what you know about this, but I do want to watch Trick or Treat.
I've seen Trick or Treat.
Is it funny? Is it, well, what is
it? It's cute. Well, not cute. It's silly. It's fun.
It was under comedy horror movies, so I was like,
yeah, okay. It's fun.
And Krampus. I have to watch that as well.
I saw that in theaters.
I know, you went with your nephew.
No, I didn't.
I thought you saw it with your nephew.
No, we saw it on TV when it was airing.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So that's my goal. Interesting. Okay. Anything else you would like to add to that?
No. Okay, now I want to watch horror movies.
I'm going to make you do it.
You have to physically be in the room to make me do it.
Okay, well, that means I have to come over and hang out.
Okay.
Which I can do that.
My theme for this year was going to be international horror, but I don't know how easy that is.
The Audition.
We already saw that.
But it's been over 10 years.
I don't need to see it again.
Your self-imposed rule was if a movie you watched was over 10 years ago, you could watch it again.
Let's watch House again.
Oh, that did come up. But House has been too recent. We watched that.
I've seen House like 4 times. It's a guilty pleasure.
It was a good one. If anybody out there hasn't watched House, and I'm not talking about the Hugh Laurie medical drama, I'm talking about the, I don't know what year it came
People
out.
People call it Houseu because they're weebs. Houseu.
The Japanese horror movie, which is, it was one of the most campiest, insane experiences ever. All right, well, so my main thing was I was out of town, so that was interesting. I will say I'm excited because now that it's the first day of fall, I purchased some little mini pumpkins from the grocery store last night, and I have sprinkled them throughout my apartment, so now there's pumpkin decorations everywhere.
Oh no, I gotta decorate for Halloween. I forgot about that. I gotta clean first.
I know. I have to dig through my closet and find my Halloween decoration box because I want to start decorating. I want to be able to have all my Halloween decorations out for as long as I physically can. See, this is the first year, I'm super excited because this is the first year where I've lived on my own, in my own space where I can decorate it how I want. So I'm like super excited. A Halloween party is still on my potential radar, although I'm not sure how it's going to work in my little space, but I do want to try to have one. All right, so we blathered on. Let's talk about Pokemon, our favorite thing in the world.
These were fine episodes.
These were fun. I thought these were fun, and especially coming off of the heels of last week's, which...
Those were not fun.
We weren't fans of those. This week we have Hocus Pokemon and Clear as Crystal, which I will just say Hocus Pokemon was my favorite of the two.
Oh, definitely.
Clear as Crystal was a little bit weird. And I have done the same thing that I criticize Austin about. I have not pulled up the randomizer. And it's always a 50-50 shot, so.
We need to just start flipping a coin.
So I am doing the 30 seconds for this week, and you are doing the full summary for Hocus Pokemon, and then we'll flip it. That stinks, because I really liked, I wanted to do Hocus Pokemon.
We'd swap.
We have to follow the, I mean, I would swap, but I know you're going to say we have to follow the rules.
I'm not going to say that. I'm a way more loosey-goosey than I used to be.
So what do you want to do? Do you prefer to do a 30 seconds for one over the other?
Yeah, I don't want to do the Zapdos episode, so you gotta do this. Okay, get ready, Alex. 3, 2, 1, go.
So this is a crazy episode. We are in the woods, and suddenly we're confronted by a Murkrow who tries to tell that Ash and the Twerps that Lassie stuck down a well. Not really. It's a girl named Lily who's a magician who tries to summon demons out of her ancient book. She goes on a crazy adventure through the woods to get her missing ingredients with Ash's help, and it turns out at the end, her spell fucking works because Ash turns into a goddamn Pikachu to everybody's shock and horror, and he's trapped.
Time. I had a very big problem with this episode, actually.
A very big problem.
Okay, so we meet Lily after her Murkrow pecks Ash's eyes out.
So is this, I have to stop you for 1 second. Is this Harry Potter's mom, Lily? Lily the witch?
Oh, was her name Lily?
It was.
Well, that's the thing, though. She's not a witch. She is...
She's a Party City magician.
She's a Party City musician. Magician. She's dressed as a witch, but she wants to do a magic show. And I'm like, you're fucking lying. You're a witch. You go around and you create spells with incantations and ingredients, and you make potions, and they have magical effects. and she's claiming she's a stage musician. God damn it.
She's
a stage magician, which would be illusions and like...
Illusions, Michael.
But they're not illusions. She's literally doing magic. Or rather, she's doing some sort of... I guess it would be magic.
She's doing some hocus pocus crazy nonsense.
Jesse calls her a witch later on as like an insult. But she never self-identifies as a witch.
I have several things. This episode's going to be all over the place because I know we're going to have so many things to talk about. She runs up and she's like an insane person, right? And so she explains that she needs like one final ingredient, which is like Pikachu's lightning bolt. But that's a fucking lie because she literally has them going on like a goose chase for like several other ingredients.
I think what she meant was like Pikachu's thunderbolt is the final ingredient, but she has other ingredients to get before she gets the final ingredient.
This actually, I appreciated this moment because it reminded me of something very near and dear to my heart, which is Pokemon Live. Because
it did.
I know. This is quite a callback, which I encourage everybody to go back and listen to Austin and I's retelling of Pokemon Live, because that was probably my favorite episode we've ever done.
What is the connective tissue here? I'm confused.
Because don't you remember when Giovanni was like, I need Pikachu because that's the final move. Oh, Thunderbolt's right. The final move I need for Mecha Mewtwo to learn all the moves and take over the world.
Right,
and
right,
this,
right.
This clown, this girl is like, I need a Pikachu's Thunderbolt after generations of not being able to find a single Pikachu.
Okay, so this girl has like an ancient tome with her that's been handed down for the generations. And her main objective in this episode is to get a spell / potion that can cause people to communicate with Pokemon. And no one can read it but her. Like Alex said, it's been generations, hundreds and centuries of people not being able to do this spell because they don't have a Pikachu.
It makes no sense. I'm not even going to try to like justify a reason for this. I don't know.
I swear to God, my upstairs neighbor is like washing their apartment.
Washing?
They're making so much noise and they're like, it's like liquid is sloshing all over the place.
Are they like mopping the floor? Like,
they must be. I hope they're not flooded because then it's going to come down to me.
So what happened? Like, not to diverge too much, but like, since you're in a condo and you own the place, but you have an upstairs neighbor, like, would it be your homeowner's insurance if they were flooding?
That's why homeowner's insurance is more expensive when you live in a communal living like this.
Because you aren't responsible for your own dwelling. It's your neighbor's as well.
Yeah, you can see on my recording, you can hear the so much water sloshing around. You can hear it?
I can hear it. It's like a car wash.
What is going on? What are you doing?
It's like, shh, shh, shh. Are they power washing like
the inside of their home?
No, like the breezeway upstairs? Like what?
It sounds like there's a water park.
Are these the same people that have been living above you, or are these new people?
These people, there's always some sort of project going on up there.
I thought they were generally, like, I
thought they were moving out if they were making so much noise, but no.
Are they renovating, potentially?
Maybe. Like, but it's been like 6 months.
Yeah, a few months back, they were moving all their stuff out, and we thought, oh, they're moving away, but then...
No.
They've been a lot more noisy and active, I think.
Yeah, they didn't used to be like that.
Maybe you could go upstairs and be like, hello.
I already knocked on the ceiling at one point.
Did they...
They stopped.
Stop?
Not today. Oh, wow. This was a while back. They were like moving furniture at like 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, fuck you. And I just like pounded on the thing.
That's really insensitive.
Like it wasn't like a little shove. It was like they were rearranging the furniture at 10 at night.
That's bad. That's a bad neighbor. That's a bad neighbor. Like quiet hours exist for a reason. Do you know if those people up there are renting or they own
the I have condo? No idea.
Because your place is kind of a mixed use sort of.
All right, the water stops. Let's continue.
Okay, thank God.
I don't even know where I was. All right, Lily's a magician, but actually a witch. Probably because you can't say witch on like broadcast children's television in the early 2000s because like crazy evangelicals will like protest kids WB or something.
They already did that. They already tried that.
They have nothing else to live for.
That is true. But Jesse does say the word witch at one point.
Yeah, that surprised me.
It comes later.
Of course, the twerps are going to devote their day to helping this witch.
I mean, to be fair, like, I will just say in their defense, like, I'd rather help out a girl who's a self-proclaimed, like, witch than helping some crazy scientist in the middle of a field deal with, like, a bunch of Blossom and Vileplume. Like, I just okay, personally...
Fair.
That's, you know, I
digress. I wouldn't help either of these people. I'd say goodbye and I would leave.
I would just want to see, like, what kind of hocus-pokery is, like, going on here.
She's gonna sacrifice you to her lord.
Her demon lord?
The devil. I mean,
Yeah.
So before we do the mind reading spell, we do a skincare routine spell for Misty. Because, okay, you're laughing at this.
Why? I'm laughing because it's funny.
Okay, that's interesting. She gets dried Magikarp scales, flappy wool, Dugtrio soil, and this attracts a team of Spinarak who mummy wrap Misty.
Okay, I have two thoughts.
Yes.
One, we've seen the Spinarak web treatment facial thing before.
This is an exact repeat of that.
That was during, I can't remember what episode it is exactly, but it was when we got pissed off that like Ash and Brock got to do like battle training and shit, and then Misty got relegated to like the Pokemon beauty school training.
Right. It was the one of the many dojos we've seen, the Ninja Academy.
Yeah, there's been several. I'm not sure what it is, but if you go back and find it, I'm sure you could. But yes, so we've seen this exact methodology before. Two, I just want to point out that Misty, have we ever heard her say, because when Lily is like, I'm a witch and I'm, you know, magician or whatever, Misty's like, oh my god, one of my childhood aspirations was to become a Pokemon magician myself.
Since when?
When have we ever heard that?
Well, okay, here's what I think they were doing. This could be sexist. I think they were doing the young girls all go through a witch phase thing.
No, that's not true. Everybody wants to be a horse girl.
No, I thought there was like a everyone has a witch phase.
That is true. I did want to be a witch. But that's because Harry Potter came out when I was like, everybody wanted to be a witch. I thought
that was like an evergreen thing.
Just a quick little thing. Did you ever, like as a kid, when Harry Potter was coming out, did one part of the back of your mind be like when you turned like 10 or whatever, 11, that you would get your Hogwarts letter in the mail?
No, because I was a realistic child.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I did.
You know me. I was bitter at a young age.
Austin was a cynic at a very small age. Like,
and that sounds like a joke, but I tell you, I recently rediscovered, not recently, but I discovered all those videotapes of my childhood. And you can tell in those childhood videos, I was already the way I am now.
Just in a smaller version of you.
I was rolling my eyes at church and shit.
But yeah, I was very sad and disappointed that I was nothing more than a muggle and I did not get my Hogwarts letter.
You're a nomadge?
Yeah, I'm a nomadge. And I wouldn't have gotten a letter to Hogwarts, by the way. It would have been Ilvermorny or whatever the fuck it is for America. But the more boring of the two schools.
Alex's witch phase aside.
Yeah.
And Misty's being assaulted by spiders aside. We're now going to focus on the Pokemon mind reading spell. So we already have ground up Stantler horns, which is alarming.
That is alarming. Wait, do they shed their horns like real deer? Like,
I've never seen a Stantler without horns.
Maybe she harvested them from the corpses of Santa's dead Stantler.
Oh, that must be what it is. She was standing in a snowy field and like just burning Stantlers fell all around her. And she's like, oh, yay! In her British
the
accent.
Burning wreckage. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, a Jinx-kissed flower petal, which thank God Jinx did not make an appearance.
Thank God.
Miltank yogurt.
That's disgusting.
It's just milk.
Oh, God, no. Oh.
Shuckle's secret cure. Don't like that. Now we need Parasect Sunspore.
I missed the Shuckle's secret cure.
Yep. But we need Parasect Sunspore. So in that exact moment, a Parasect walks by.
How convenient.
Which was kind of like the only part of the episode I thought was like genuinely funny.
I love Parasect. Oh my gosh.
They keep on like spontaneously walking by the Pokemon they need right as she says it.
Yeah.
So Ash does like a little battle with the Parasect.
I'm sorry.
Okay, you gotta talk about Parasect.
No, not necessarily Parasect. I just, when you said that, like, conveniently, when Ash and friends appear is when, like, Destiny shit starts happening.
Oh, okay. She's been at this for months, and now that Ash and friends are here, she only has 22 minutes.
Yeah, like, her family, like, none of these other people could ever accomplish half of this shit, and, like, and she's been in the woods for God knows how long, like you said, could be months. And just at this moment when Ash and friends appear is exactly when they get the final ingredients, like the Parasect comes out and the Aipom comes out and like all these other things like that she couldn't find on her own. Like
aura.
It is the aura.
Ash's aura attracts a Parasect and Lily ends up vacuuming up the Sunspore.
I thought this was really cute, actually, when Ash was like, Pikachu, use Thunderbolt. But then he was like, wait, scratch that. Use a Thunder Spark.
That's another repeat of something we've already done when they were trying to get that Paris to evolve.
Oh, yes!
This is just a repeat episode.
They did! Oh my god, I completely forgot about that.
Team Rocket attack. By sheer happenstance, she needs the dirt from under a Meowth's claws.
That's disgusting. Dirt from a Meowth's claw?
They don't even make a joke about, like, Meowth having dirty nails. That surprised me.
Why couldn't it have been something else? Like a hair from a Meowth tail or something, like...
So, Lily's stupid Murkrow goes to get the dirt from Meowth's claw, But instead, it somehow ends up popping the balloon, leaving Team Rocket stranded on a rocky outcropping over a cliff, because there's nothing but cliffs in the Pokemon universe, cliffs and waterfalls. And they are going to fall to their deaths. And the twerps come up and see this, and they're like, oh no, Team Rocket's in danger. And Lily's like, oh look, it's Team Rocket. Hello, Team Rocket. She runs up, runs onto the rocky outcropping, scoops dirt out from Meowth's nails, runs away, happy as a clam, and then Team Rocket dies.
Rest in peace.
I wish, because they keep on showing up. What else? Now, as we said, next thing that happens is we need an Aipom. We need Aipom's tear. And of course, an Aipom pops out from behind a tree.
Of course it does. Where else would it be hanging out?
Team Rocket come back again, so they clearly did not die very well enough.
They didn't die well enough. They can't even get that right.
They got away with Lily's ancient tome and the Aipom. Turns out James can read it, because when he was a young lad, he studied ancient Pokemonia from roughly the age of the third king.
Oh, can we talk about this?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Was ancient Pokemonia the name of the language or the name of the society?
Okay, so fun fact. I referred to our favorite source of trivia, Bulbapedia. I typed in Pokemonia because I thought, this is new. We've never heard this before. It redirected me to Pokemopolis. And it even says, redirected from Pokemonia on the Pokemopolis page. However, it does not specifically say anything about Pokemonia. So I'm not really sure how this fits into ancient Pokemopolis. If we remember, Pokemopolis is the site of the ancient giant Pokemon, like the giant Gengar and the giant, was it Alakazam?
It was Alakazam and Jigglypuff.
Yeah. And Jigglypuff and the, it was the big Gengar too, right?
Yeah.
Let me look it up. Pokey. I wasn't prepared. Sorry, guys.
So, okay. Bulbapedia directed you to Pokemopolis.
Yeah, if I type in Pokemonia, it directs me to the Pokemopolis page, but there is no... Oh, it's the Japanese title. Okay, so it was a translation thing. Sorry, okay.
So they directly said Pokemopolis in the Japanese script?
Perhaps. I mean, obviously in the English version, James says Pokemonia, but that's the Japanese title for it. So it is Pokemopolis. Ah, okay.
Okay. In the Japanese version of the episode, The Ancient Puzzle of Pokemopolis, it was called Pokemonia in Japan.
It says Pokemopolis, Japanese, Pokemonia.
Okay, now, in the Japanese version of this episode, did James say Pokemonia?
I have no idea.
Oh my god, how does this not documented?
Okay, so the title of the Ancient Puzzle of Pokemopolis episode in Japanese is Fierce Battle Ancient Pokemon. Like, that's what it is.
Okay.
Let me go to Pokemopolis. Let me see if there's a trivia section on this episode for it. Because I don't know if he says Pokemonia. I mean, they would have had to say Pokemonia in the Japanese script, right? Because that's what it's called in Japanese.
I'm not seeing any...
It doesn't come up in errors or anything?
I don't see it under trivia.
Oh, just another fun fact. Brock claims that he, Ash, and Misty never met a Pokemon magician before, but apparently Melvin, if we remember back from the Executor shenanigans.
Hmm.
It doesn't mention anything.
Okay, I guess we're gonna have to watch the Japanese version and find out.
The things we do in the name of science for this podcast. Anyway, okay, that's the mystery solved, because...
Is it solved? I feel like we still have a mystery.
Well, I was wondering what the hell Pokemonia was, and apparently it just means Pokemopolis. So, the third king. I don't know when that would be, though. How long ago that would be. Oh, they did change. In the original Japanese version of this episode, they had a picture of an original Jinx, but it was changed to a flower with a kiss on it.
That's for the best.
Yep.
Like, I'm not even joking. I'm looking for this shit.
I want to know. I'm curious. I don't know.
How am I all the way in Sun and Moon on this list?
I'm pretty upset that in the Pokemopolis section of Bulbapedia, it doesn't reference this episode at all, even though it was directly...
You know, maybe the thing is we need to join Bulbapedia and we need to, like, take over this shit. Start putting in details.
Clearly, they have not done their due diligence here, because it makes no mention of this book.
No, I don't want to cast my TV. No, I don't want to cast my television. Stop it.
Yes, you do.
Oh, okay. This is interesting.
Have you found some more information?
I found the scene. I'm watching it now. Jesse says, what are these characters? I can't read them. James said Pokemonia, or rather Kojiro said Pokemonia. It is Bogeymopolis.
Oh, okay. So it was just a mistranslation then. They used not a mistranslation, but they didn't change it for English. Yeah. Wow.
Someone go on Bulbapedia and reference the fact that Bogeymopolis is referenced in this episode.
Yeah,
that 4KidsDub uses the Japanese name Pokemonia. That needs to be known.
A critical update that needs to be made.
This is like the most pressing issue of our times.
It is.
All right. Good trivia, Alex. That was quite the whirlwind of an adventure.
I was tickled. I was like, ooh, a word I've never heard before.
All right. They need Apom tears, but the Apom tears cannot be through violence. So each Team Rocket member comes up with their own way to get Apom to cry. James tries a stand-up routine. Doesn't work. Meowth tries a dramatic puppet show. Doesn't work. Jessie tries a similar tactic where she is an actress on a stage. Wobbuffet's her stagehand. And she is a princess who dies in the snow. Very much in the style of James as a child run away, die in the snow, by the way.
I was just looking this up because I was very taken in by, unlike Apom, who was completely unfazed, very rude, I would say. But I was very taken in by Jessie's performance. I thought she did a fantastic job. I was looking up the Theater of Japan just now because I was like, what kind of style of theater did she do? And I'm not really sure. I think potentially it may be... No, that's puppetry, so it wouldn't be...
That's what Meowth was doing, was puppetry.
So that was probably Bunraku, potentially. That says it began in the 16th century. I don't know. What is the kind of... the style of theater where it's like the princess and then the snow and it's kind of like... You've got the singular shamisen, like the ding, 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 you know, kind of like string music. And then they like fall down and like die on the theater.
This
like,
is not an area I have any expertise in. I'm sorry.
I don't either. Oh, I'm so upset. Is it kabuki? No, that's like the masks and stuff, right? Oh, I don't know. Does anybody know about traditional Japanese theater? Because I would really like to know.
Was it just a one-woman play she was doing?
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn to... I know this is a complete departure, but I have to know. Do you... remember in Memoirs of a Geisha?
I've never seen Memoirs of a Geisha.
You've never seen that movie?
Nope.
She does a similar style of theater, and this reminded me of it because she does a performance, Chiyo, the character in Memoirs of a Geisha. Okay, sadly, it glosses over that part. It doesn't say.
Damn. God, the internet's failing us today. We're really having to do our own research.
It literally says every other part of the film, but she does a performance, and it doesn't say, but it's like the exact same thing, you know, with the snow, you know, and like the whole performance.
Is it possible it was referencing Memoirs of a Geisha?
I would be really surprised if that was the case. God, this makes me want to watch this movie again.
The snow dance. One of the most prominent scenes in the movie is an event called the snow dance, where Sayuri, the main protagonist, conducts her first live performance in front of a set of strangers, whom she charms and entertains. It is a ceremonial procedure where a woman is introduced to the new world.
That kind of seems right. But I'm not sure exactly what kind of style of theater that they are that this is representative of. I'm not sure.
Oh my god, now I'm on Reddit. We gotta stop.
All right, we've gone too far.
Okay, anyway. So, Apom cannot cry. Twerp show up. They fight Team Rocket to save the Apom. They get blasted off again. This causes Apom to laugh uproariously and laughs tears, and they catch a tear in a bottle. So now it's time to do the spell. And if there's one thing anyone knows about this episode, it's this coming scene, this final sequence. Yes, Alex?
You're going to hate me, but I have one more thing I want to point out before we
get really should have let you guide this episode.
No, I just have a lot to say, and I wanted to say this specifically because Josh pointed this out, and I promised him that I would give him a little shout-out for even noticing this, because I did not.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my gosh, you're so good at this. So there's a part where during Team Rocket's theater performances, there's a joke. When James is trying to get Apom to laugh, he makes a joke to the effect of, when is Mr. Mime not a Pokemon? And he says, when it's a pool shark. And I was like, and then there's a picture of like Mr. Mime playing billiards. Do you remember that part?
No, I completely skipped that part because it was awful.
Okay. Oh, I thought we loved it when Team Rocket got into their drama, Theater Kid.
I'm glad you guys liked it. I did not care for it at all.
I did. But anyway, I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, when is Mr. Mime not a Pokemon when it's a pool shark? I was like,
what? That's why I didn't like this. The visual puns were horrendous. And like, well, I'm sure they did the best they could, but it was like an impossible goal.
So to us Americans, of course, it would make little sense. However, I looked it up because I was like, well, what is Mr. Mime's Japanese name? Like,
Barriered.
Exactly. These kind of puns are obviously more impactful in Japanese because of play on words and everything. It's barriered. So if you type into Google Translate what the Japanese word for billiards is, I think it may sound similar.
Because the RL.
So I was like, maybe barriered, barriered, like billiards, Mr. Mime. Like, there has to be something with that. So Josh noticed that, and I was like, thank you. So I wanted to just make sure I included that on the podcast. Anyway.
Anyway, Ash is a Pikachu now. Hooray.
Whoa.
That's it. That's the episode. Wait,
I'm sorry. Are you just going to gloss over the fact that he turned into a fucking Pokemon?
Well, the episode did. Why shouldn't I?
Okay, this is not where I thought that this was going to go. Like, I thought it was a dream.
I wish this whole episode was a dream. I did not care for it. Now, this talking about it has made me dislike the episode. Congratulations, Alex.
I am so upset. How could this be? I thought it was hilarious.
I did not. This was boring to me.
Oh, no. Well, that had the opposite effect. Just like the Pokemon spell had the opposite effect of what I thought it would do. I literally thought it was going to be a dream because when the smoke turns yellow and he inhales it.
You thought he was going to die?
Well, he gets a little like, he looks a little high. So I was like, oh, he's going to fall asleep. Like, I thought the whole mind reading thing was like, it was going to be revealed that he fell asleep and like dreamed that he was
oh.
a Pikachu or something. But then it turns out like, surprise, motherfucker, he's actually a Pikachu. And nobody seems shocked by this.
See, I was going to say, this is like what this episode is famous for, is Ash is a Pikachu and he turns into a Pikachu for about 20 seconds. And then the episode's over.
Well, he's a Pikachu as of the end of this episode, however.
Uncanny Valley is not the right term, but it was unnerving to me to see Ash's face on a Pikachu and having him talk.
It was very unnerving.
And the Pikachu lip flaps and Ash's voice comes out. I did not care for that.
I was shocked that this actually happened because the implications, first of all, that this girl can go around turning people into Pokemon and like nobody bats an eyelid.
And the reasoning is, surprise, surprise, the pages were stuck together and she missed in a critical part of the spell. And it's all ruined and she can't read it.
Well, what's the critical part of the spell that we're missing? We don't even really know. So the sticky mystery pages that were smudged, I don't even want to know what that's about, would have potentially made it so you can remain human and read the mind of a Pokemon. However, because it was messed up, it was a botched spell.
This botched spell could have done anything. It could have made Ash's organs be on the outside.
Ew.
So Ash and Pikachu have Pika sex, and the episode's over.
Whoa.
Canonically, what happened?
Canonically, yeah.
Don't tell me that's not what Ash would do if he was a Pikachu.
He was like, goodbye, everyone. What did he say? He's like, Togepi, Pikachu, Murkrow, let's go play.
Ew, let's get Togepi out of that equation.
Yeah, let's move along there, Ash.
Murkrow can stay.
Murkrow was annoying as hell.
Speaking of annoying as hell, MVP, LVP, and quote.
Let's see, who's first? I'm first.
MVP, everyone, because this episode was so good, and I have no complaints.
I'm going to give my MVP to James for being able to read the ancient writings of the Pokemonia people. Because all he did as a child was go to the local library and he enriched his education. So good for him.
Oh, that was another thing. In the subtitled version I just watched a second ago, he said it was his family's personal library.
Oh, so I think I agree with, I like that they change it to the local library to, you know, encourage the children and the youth to go and visit their local library. So I'm also going to give an honorary MVP to the localization people that changed that translation. So my LVP is going to be, are those your neighbors?
Can you hear that?
Yes.
I mean, they're dropping bowling balls on my head.
I can hear the banging around, so.
What the fuck are y'all doing? Anyway.
My LVP is Austin's neighbors for
okay, fair enough.
Being deserved. Fucking horrible and annoying. And my quote is going to be, since we kind of already talked about the Pokemonia thing, I'm just going to, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to say it. Jesse says, this book is brimming with bunk. What are these wacky letters? And James says, actually, it's text from ancient Pokemonia from roughly the age of the third king.
That's a quote.
Okay, fine. My other quote is, Jesse says, I may be catty, but I'm not Meowth.
Fuck you. That was my quote. That was the only quote I had.
See, you gave me shit. And so there, I had to change it. And so.
Okay. Then my only backup quote for this episode I have is not very good. It's the beginning of the episode. Murkrow says, Murkrow, Murkrow. And Ash says, what's up?
Oh my god.
That was a gambit. That could have gone well, or I didn't know what your reaction to that was going to be.
A gambit.
Yep. My other quote, it turns out I had a third quote. Missy says, sure, I've been in these mountains a long time.
Oh, that was the very first word.
Yeah, you really have been in these mountains for a long time. I'm ready for that to be over.
You want to know what my very first bullet point
yes.
note for this section is? Quote, "We sure have been in these mountains a long time," says Misty, echoing the exact sentiment we're all probably feeling.
Yeah, I'm ready to move on. My MVP is going to be Misty for pointing out the obvious. And my LVP is going to be Lily for not knowing if she's a witch.
You know, I'm kind of surprised because I could have sworn, I was like, you know what? Austin's probably going to pick Jesse as his LVP.
Why?
Because she was spewing out alliteration left and right, and I know how much she
loved that. Oh, when she does alliteration, my brain censors it.
One thing she said was, so, Murkrow's manic master is a magician, huh?
My brain, it censors it.
Oh, what an episode. I love that.
I've grown to detest this episode. I'd rather watch the McCargo episode 3 times.
That is really harsh. I can't believe that. I feel horrible now that I've made you hate this. Is it because I talk too much about it?
No, it's because it didn't come together into a cohesive whole, I thought.
It kind of felt like a different anime at certain points, especially with the magic part. I was like, this is not Pokemon. It doesn't feel very Pokemon.
And if it's going to be a wacky, crazy episode, let's make it a wacky, crazy episode. It wasn't wacky enough for me.
One of my most favorite wacky, crazy episodes is when they were with DJ Mary and they were like role-playing her like radio drama.
Love that one.
I just remember that for some reason.
That took it to the logical extreme. That's what this episode should have done.
Yeah, because it was a suspension of disbelief in a reasonable way, because it's like, oh, okay, they were in a fantastical circumstance, but not really, because they were literally like playing in a radio drama. So it was a visualization of their radio drama adventure. It wasn't like actually happening to them.
And the reality of them improvising this entire scenario as Jesse goes off the rails and they're like running through the radio tower and like carrying microphones with them, that in of itself is still pretty wacky and fun.
That was a great episode, I will say. I was expecting it to be more like that, but this was...
Ooh, have I convinced you Hocus Pokemon is not a good episode now?
I mean, I will say I appreciate it in the sense that I like it when they do something different.
They did try, yeah.
I'll take an episode like this over the fucking McCargo episode any day, where it's like a whole bunch of nothing is going on.
Ugh, they should have gone to an annual festival.
I know.
It's been a minute since we've had annual festival. Was it Extreme Pokemon was the last one?
Well, yeah, I guess... They were doing the longboarding competition.
That was a while back now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's the last time we had an annual festival. All right. Are we good? Oh, can we move on to the next one? Clear as crystal.
Yes, we are. We are good. It's clear as crystal, baby.
Let me get the timer up. Austin, in 3, 2, 1, go.
We find out where Dr. Sebastian got his purple crystal. Because there's a blue crystal underwater from a mysterious ancient ruin that has slid under a lake. And it charges up Electro-type Pokemon. And then Team Rocket steals the crystal, because of course they do. And then Zapdos appears. Zapdos it was injured previously and needs to heal using the crystal. So Zapdos is revived when the electric Pokemon revived the crystal. And it flies away and zaps Team Rocket like 5 times.
Time. All right. Great. So what did you think about this episode?
I preferred Hocus Pokemon.
And I thought you hated Hocus Pokemon.
I hated Hocus Pokemon because it had potential. This really didn't.
Like, I thought this episode was going to go a different direction for, like, half a second, but I was quickly proven wrong because, like, if we were thinking it was going to go differently, it's not. Ash is a Pikachu at the very beginning of this episode, but, like, 2 seconds later, he, like, in a puff of white smoke, turns back into a real boy.
He turns back into a real boy in the episode devoted to Electro-type Pokemon. What a waste.
I know.
What a waste.
You know, to be honest with you, I didn't remember this episode at all, so I wasn't necessarily thinking, like, or knew that there was going to be electric Pokemon involved. But now that you say that, I'm supremely disappointed. Like, how in the fuck could you have a whole dedicated episode to electric types and a magical electric crystal, and Ash wasn't a Pikachu the whole time? Oh, I'm so mad.
Weird. I wonder why they even had that scene in the beginning at all. Like, why was that even there?
Like, now that you say that, like, the whole fact that they even had Ash actually turn into a Pokemon, which is, like, insane in and of itself.
And then do nothing with it.
Do nothing with it, because literally within the first 2 seconds of this episode, he turns back. Like, oh my gosh. This is another one of those classic Pokemon missed opportunity moments.
Like, surely they had this episode ready to go, and then they randomly decided to put continuity from the previous episode in the beginning for some reason. Right?
Was it... Who wrote this episode? Because, like...
Who knows?
Is it a Takashi Shudo episode?
I don't think it is.
It doesn't feel weird enough, but I wonder if it was, like, a... Well, no, because I want to feel like, I want to say everything seems like it should be deliberate. So I'm wondering, like, it couldn't have been a case of them deciding to have gone that way and then getting struck down at the last moment. Because why even have that scene in the beginning at all? Like, they could have easily just omitted that and just had Ash as a real boy from the very beginning and, like, completely brushed off that that happened in the last episode.
Screenplay written by Shoji Yonemura, who does not have a Bulbapedia article, because when you click it, it takes you to Japanese Wikipedia. Let's translate it.
Okay, Shoji, I'm really disappointed in you, just so you know, 20-something years later.
Oh, you wrote a bunch of Kamen Rider.
Okay.
Interesting.
Are there any other notable episodes of Pokemon that, like, he wrote that we would be...
Several dozen, all the way up to the end of Ash's run on the series.
Hmm.
Anyway.
I was going to say, who wrote the daytime talk show episode, but...
We'll find out.
We're already spiraling out of control. Might as well just commit.
We are way off topic today.
We are so way off topic.
Oh, he wrote Airtime.
No way!
Shoji,
what happened,
man? You could do so much better than this.
Oh my god.
Admittedly, I'm assuming all these episodes are written by committee and then one person.
Of course.
Yeah, that's how I assume these episodes go.
So I'm going to just go out on a limb, and my headcanon is going to be that Shoji really wanted to take it in the direction of Ash is a Pikachu the entire episode, but then all of his peers were like, fuck that, it's a bad idea. And he had to be like, fine, let's just concede and just have Ash turn back at the beginning. That's what I'm going to believe. Anyway, so sadly, the episode could have been much better, but we don't get that. It's in an alternate reality. They think they've reached Blackthorn City, finally, but instead, they're surprised when they get to the top of the hill, and it's just more fucking forest.
We got several more episodes to go of fucking forest before we get there.
Misty is very upset by this, because...
Me too.
I know. Misty is all of us. She's mad at Brock because he's such a boy, he can't ask for directions. Even though he has a guidebook.
Who are they supposed to ask, Lily?
The guidebook.
Oh, okay.
But Brock must be using, like, a map from, like, the 1950s, because, like, his maps are never right.
His map's written in ancient Pokemonia.
That's true. He can't read them. So they're trying to figure out which way to go next when suddenly Team Rocket's here. And they're dressed up as gaudy game show hosts, and the twerps fall for the most obvious ploy in the whole world. Yes, Austin?
You know who they're dressed up as?
It looks familiar, but I'm not sure.
The Doug Trio from the Airtime episode.
Oh my gosh! You're right! That's our Shoji influence coming through again! Holy
Shoji,
shit!
Shoji, our man!
Wow, I was not expecting all these callbacks to Airtime. And I just said that on... I literally had zero basis to even bring that up. I just was like, you know what reminds me of... Like, it was completely apropos of nothing. So yeah, they fall for this bullshit of, we have this super awesome Pika Power Mark II device where if you... sit Pikachu's butt down in it, it'll charge it. Or charge Pikachu, not his butt. So they strap him in and get away, and Ash is like, oh my god, who are you? Even though they're flying away in the balloon, the Meowth balloon. Ash does a cool, well, depending on who you ask, I guess, kind of a cool thing where he doubles down on this whole thing, and he's like, Pikachu, just keep blasting. Do your electrical thing and overpower the device, and it works, and they explode. But now Pikachu is, like, dying because it used up too much electricity. So then this girl appears, and I'm not sure...
She didn't even say her name, did she?
No, okay, I was about to say, I don't think she ever introduced herself. However, her name is... Get ready for this. It's a shock. Crystal.
Oh, really?
Her name is Crystal. Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Crystal with a K, which reminded me very much of Star Fox Adventures.
It makes me think of cheap fast food.
Oh, yeah. I love how my first thought is the purple fox girl from Star Fox Adventures.
Wasn't she blue?
Bluish purple.
Okay.
And yours is like major fast food chain in the US. I feel like that's probably the more normal.
Can we play Star Fox Adventures and stream it on Twitch?
Oh my god, I'd fucking love that.
Oh my god, let's do it. Okay.
Guys, tell us if you would want to see that. No, actually, we're going to do that anyway, but we'd love it if you guys tuned in to watch, because oh my fucking god, I love Star Fox Adventures.
We're never going to do that.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not.
Don't let our dreams be dreams. Anyway, my air conditioner just came on. Sorry about that. I would really love that. Let's plan. Crystal, the blue fox girl, appears, and she's like, I can help you. And she's like, I'm concerned. There was a ruckus. What was the ruckus? The twerps are like, oh my god, our Pikachu's dying. And she's like, okay, well, I can take you to a secret place, but you're sworn to secrecy. You can't tell anyone anything.
Little does this lady know that they're going to forget everything they see within Good 24 thing
they
hours.
They have daily amnesia, but she doesn't know that. Anyway, she takes him to the special secret spring that's on top of this mountaintop. apparently it's a very special lake because all the electric Pokemon get drawn to it because the water is imbued with a secret power that recharges electric type Pokemon. And this is all due to the ancient legendary crystal that's part of an underwater ancient temple that's in the middle of the lake. It was flooded in ancient times. There's a lot of weird crystals, I feel like, recently.
It looks identical to the Raikou crystal.
It does. If you guys remember the Legend of Thunder episode that we did a few weeks back, this is very much Dr. Sebastian's... What was it called? What did he call it?
I have no idea.
The magic crystal? I don't fucking know.
Operation Great Big Crystal.
Right.
Okay, so are we assume that was a copy of this somehow? Or is this like its brother crystal?
I want to assume, like, let's just say for the sake of the argument and continuity that it's a part of a set.
This one's blue, that one was purple, so there's like a rainbow. There's like the Chaos Emeralds.
Ooh, too bad I don't think we like see any more of these things.
No.
But this is the secret, super secret electric type crystal. This one, ooh, you know what? That actually makes a ton of sense because Sebastian's crystal absorbed electric attacks and this one emits electric restoring energy.
They're opposites.
Opposite. Ooh, I like this. Kind of an interesting thought, but there's nothing more to that because it's Pokemon. However, Team Rocket's eavesdropping, of course, and they plan to steal it to sell it and become rich beyond their wildest dreams. All the electric... So they swoop in and steal it. The Twerp's like, oh my god, the lake's not glowing anymore. So, of course, all the electric types try to gang up and attack Team Rocket, but they have some kind of device. I'm not sure what they called it, but it's like an electric absorbing thing.
I thought it was the Mark III.
Oh, is it the Pika Power Mark III?
Yeah.
Sure, it absorbs all the attacks, and they all get sick because they're exhausted. Then something interesting happens, where I could have sworn that this was not the first time we've seen it, but apparently a Zapdos descends from the heavens.
Good for Zapdos. It's been a long time. It needs an episode.
So apparently, this is the first appearance in the physical mainline episodes.
Right.
Not counting. It did appear in Power of One, yep. But that doesn't count. I was shocked. No pun intended. Like, I can't believe this is the first time Zapdos... Really? Like, Zapdos... This is the first time it's shown up? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I just don't know why I felt like it's appeared before, but I guess...
Legendaries, they only started really appearing in the anime as of Johto, with any regularity. Because we got the Lugia storyline, we got the Articuno, Suicune was in an episode, there's a Zapdos. Spoiler alert, Entei's coming.
I guess I'm just, like, prescribing my current knowledge to these older episodes. Like, it's all running together, so I'm thinking to myself, like, oh my god, we've seen this, like, 1,000 times.
Zapdos has appeared since, yes.
Well, of course, but, like, as of this moment, it's kind of just a surprise to be like, oh wow, actually, this is the first time we're seeing it. Like, anyway, poor Zapdos. I guess it was already hurt, because it was already, like, hanging around. It was known to Crystal. Like, she knew it was already kind of, like, struggling, and it was coming up to the mountain to rest and relax and heal and stuff like that. So it's already kind of like struggling, but it passes out from exhaustion and Team Rocket blast off, but they take the crystal with them. And the Twerps are like, we're going to get it back, the crystal back, faster than you can say Zapdos.
Zapdos.
They did not. That was a lie. But they do find Team Rocket in the forest and confront them. And then they manage to get the crystal back, but not before Ash almost falls to his death off a cliff, another cliff for your viewing pleasure. Bayleaf saves his life. Good for Bayleaf. And they bring it back to the altar, but it doesn't work, sadly. They're like, what the hell? What's going on? It's not working. And all the Pokemon band together to shock it, but it's only with the power of the dying and unconscious Zapdos, because they, like, push it into the water and it, like, drowns.
Yeah, they were underwater for quite some time.
Yeah, it sinks down, and then they're just watching the water, and they're like, something's not happening. And, like, is Zapdos, like, okay? Is it dead? Like, but then I think somehow it, like, some shit goes on. I don't know. It zaps it back into, like...
They were really stretching for time on this one.
Yeah, it went on for a while.
That's why Team Rocket attacked 3 times.
They actually, like, joke about that. They're like, this is our 3rd time, like, but we got it right this time anyway. But yeah, so ultimately Zapdos restores the magic of the crystal and everything is great and wonderful. And then they leave Crystal, the girl, to her bullshit, so.
To her shitty fast food.
That's right. The end.
All right, we powered through that one.
That is right. There's not much to say about that episode.
No, it was pretty rote.
How do you feel about this one over Hocus Pokemon, which you proclaim to hate?
Well, now I've convinced myself that it's a better episode than Hocus Pokemon.
There is such a thing as a wrong opinion, Austin. I'm just going to say that.
There is. I don't think anything regarding Pokemon is considered a wrong opinion. There are a lot of wrong opinions out there. Don't get me wrong.
Oh my god! Not to, at the risk of being annoying. I'm so sorry. You know, my love of Dragon Age. I just can't help it, chomping at the bit. You can't imagine the amount of vitriol and hate and bullshit and people's like completely unnecessary opinion. Like, again, there is such a thing as a wrong opinion. It's just insane. I feel like people have way too much time on their hands. Unlike us, who, you know, we don't pick apart a children's anime show for...
Never.
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 See, the difference is we do it in good fun.
No, I love Pokemon. I love Pokemon it. The series. Love it. I'm also an adult man.
Exactly. If it wasn't clear, any opinions or, like, jokes that we make at the expense of this show, like, this is all in good fun. Like, we're joking 100%. Like, we love Pokemon. And it's fun to, like, look at something through the lens as, like, an adult and be like, oh, that makes no sense. Ah. Overall, I think these two episodes were entertaining.
I think once we get to Blackthorn, we're going to be going a lot. We got a lot better things to come.
Anyway, MVP, LVP, and quote time. And the order is... Austin, you're first.
My MVP is going to be Bayleaf for saving Ash after he jumped off a cliff. That was a good move. Watching out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still hate Bayleaf? I feel like she's improved a lot since her evolution.
Bayleaf is definitely improved. It's less assault and more helpful.
She still has a crush on Ash, but she's...
She's toned it down.
Yeah, she's not out of control.
What was the episode where Bayleaf was like, she realized that Ash was kind of like being a little asshole to her?
It was right,
like,
after she evolved.
Yeah, and I think that kind of tempered her...
She's like, oh, I see what's going on. She knew Ash ain't shit.
This is, I don't necessarily want to prescribe this like behavior to like a Pokemon, because she's a Pokemon, so I'm not trying to like make it weird. But they made it weird because the writers are the ones that did this, so it's not my fault. You know how when you have a crush on somebody but you don't know them, and like, yes, you think they're the best person ever, and then
reality sets in.
Yeah, they do that one thing that just gives you the ick, and you're just like, oh, they're not who I thought they were. And then you just kind of like, you're just like, and then that initial like extreme crush, that spark is kind of like diminished because you're like, ooh, they're not exactly.
That's why I think crushes are fun, because they're not serious. They're a flight of fancy.
Well, a crush is one part you thinking of that person like, oh, what could be? And then one part like building a fantasy version of them in your head. Like, that's not truly who they are. Like, if you get to know them as an actual person, but...
Well, no, because people are not simple.
No, and they're flawed.
Well, some people are. Anyway.
Well, anyway. I think that Bayleaf has definitely improved.
Excellent. Bayleaf has more character development in this series than anyone else in Johto.
Than Ash himself.
No, I would disagree with that, but within the Johto seasons, yes.
She has the most personality of the Pokemon.
For sure.
I will say.
Sorry, Totodile and Cyndaquil. My LVP is going to be, I'm going to say Team Rocket as a whole, because I didn't need three separate Team Rocket encounters.
That was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. Oh, my quote. I will actually give it to Team Rocket. Meowth is lowering a rope for Jesse and James to escape on the balloon. James says, now that our rope has descended, it's time to say adieu. And Meowth says, to you, and you, and you, and you, and you.
Very Sound of Music.
I know you were offended that one time I didn't laugh at your Sound of Music joke, so I had to clock this one.
What was the time I made a Sound of Music joke? I literally don't remember that.
You said, what do they do with a problem like Maria? And then Jacob and I, neither of us responded.
When was that? Who's Maria?
It was Orange Islands.
God. Yeah, you guys did. Okay.
Now you remember.
Well, I don't really remember exactly, but I am remembering that I was offended that nobody laughed at my joke, so how very dare you. My MVP, I guess I'll give it to Zapdos for appearing, because apparently it hadn't before and I didn't remember that. So good job, Zapdos. I'm glad you...
Thank God Todd Snap was not here trying to chase it down.
He died.
He's in the Galapagos Islands now.
Yeah, that's true. My LVP is going to be the ancient civilization, I guess, that apparently has made all these fucking crystals. Like,
was it also Pokemonia / Pokemopolis? Who knows?
They had the Pokemania is what they had. I don't know who or what or what's going on with these crystals, but...
It was the Remoradians. I'm going to call it now.
You're right. Those crazy Remoradians.
This is the same kind of shit they would do.
That is the kind of shit they would pull. Just making problems for people hundreds of years later.
Oh, who made that mask that Jesse had on that one time?
Oh, like the queen that only could like control Pokemon within her like 8x10 square of,
yeah,
like influence. Yeah, I don't know. Was she part of that?
It was them too.
Remoradia. There's too many ancient civilizations in Johto. There's too many.
It's from the dynasty of the third king.
Jesus. Now that, what about those Zatu crazy cultists? Like, there's just, they're everywhere.
God, oh, damn. Can we leave Johto now?
Can we? This is insane now that you think about it.
Johto is such a backwoods.
You can't take two steps without falling over some ancient civilization bullshit. Between all the annual festivals and the ancient bullshit civilization, like, artifacts that they find. Yeah, I'm giving it to them. Jesus. And my quote, there wasn't a ton, unfortunately, in this episode, but I guess the part where they confront Team Rocket in the woods, I think it's like the third time. I lost track. But anyway, Jesse says, what a surprise. It's the twerps. And James says, well, maybe if we turn the other way, they won't notice we're here. Okay. If you don't like that one, how about
this? No, I did like it. It was fine. Honestly, your audio was cutting out so bad, I didn't hear any of it.
Oh, well.
But yeah.
I think it picked up on the audacity, so that's all that matters.
Oh, that's all that matters.
All right, that's it. We're done. Hooray. Yep.
Yay.
What do we got on tap next week?
All right, we got... Oh, yeah, you got to guess what these episodes are.
I have to guess?
That's our new game. You don't remember that?
Oh, okay. I'm going to guess a Stantler... No,
I'm going to tell you the titles. I got to tell you the titles.
Oh, okay.
All right, Same Old Song and Dance.
Okay. Same Old Song and Dance. It's going to be another Blossom episode.
No, it's not.
Is it a Pokemon we haven't seen?
Yes and no.
For Johto, I guess?
There's a new Johto Pokemon introduced, yes.
I don't know who the Johto Pokemon are. Johto...
Okay, you'll find out. And Enlighten Up.
That's going to be a Lantern episode?
Incorrect.
Okay, I'm going to guess again. Enlighten Up.
All right, I take it back. This is not a fun game.
I'm looking! Smeargle? No. Skarmory. Piloswine.
It's Slowpoke.
Oh, what? Who would ever guess that?
All right, join us next week.
Wait, Slowpoke for both episodes?
No, the first one's Igglybuff.
I would have never guessed that. Okay, that sounds great. Austin, I can't wait. Yes, listeners, please join us next week to find out what sort of stunning bullshit we get up to.
Oh, don't forget, we have our deadline of October 5th.
Oh, yes, our fanfiction challenge? Suggestion?
Prompt.
Prompt? To our listeners as well. We are doing that. We are going to be writing a fan fiction. The prompt is just two words: Imposter Oak. So anything involving Imposter Oak, as long as it remains civilized, we would encourage anybody listening to send in your creative writing endeavors. We want
to
see.
And you get to see what kind of music cue I pick for your fan fiction.
Yeah, we'll read it out on the podcast. And we will also be engaging as well. We'll be creating our own fan fictions to read out. So look forward to that. That's October 5th. Although, Austin, the deadline to have listeners submit is the 4th, right?
No, actually, the deadline's the 5th.
Oh, the deadline is the 5th. Okay. Yeah. So we will be recording that episode on the 6th. So make sure you get your submittals in by that if you're interested at all. That was fun and exciting. Looking forward to doing this next week. And of course, we'd like to say thank you all for listening, as always. Check out our crazy shenanigans. We have a Patreon. We would love for you guys to explore. We have all kinds of bonus content over there. So go ahead, click the link in our descriptions. Check that out. And of course, if you would like to get in touch with us or submit your fan fiction prompts to us, you can do that by emailing our Gmail account. That's outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter/X at @outofdryingpan. Again, @outofdryingpan. We would love to hear from you over there as well. And of course, we will see you all next week as the journey continues.